Israel, and I'm participating in a symposium early next week. The subject is particularly important at a time when economic forces make choices more important than everything in the way we use disposable income or excess income, if we are privileged to have it. One of the places where we use that income is in tzedakah. There's an old Hasidic word that says that in a time of difficulty, the first thing to go is tzedakah. And when things get good, the last thing to come back is tzedakah. Based on the pasuk, Hashem Tzvakos, Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon. I'm the first one to go when things are bad, and I'm the last one to come back when things are good. Right now, when things are a little bit difficult for everybody in the economy, so it's a question of how to use our discretionary income for tzedakah, or maybe not discretionary income. But I don't want to talk any more because the person who will come to hear is not I, but Harav Schachter. And it's a great privilege for all of us to be able to listen to.
At the beginning of this week's Seder, we read that Yaakov Avinu was running away from his brother Esau, and he took a neder that if the Rebbeinu Shlomo will really keep his promise and take care of him, and he will return back to Eretz Yisrael in one piece, he will give tzedakah. He says, "Aser kol asher titen li, whatever you will give me, aser asrenu lo, I will give my seksot, I will give one-tenth to tzedakah." The Gemara in Subis, Daf Nun, comments on the fact that the word meiser is mentioned twice, aser asrenu. So the Gemara says that it's alluding to a double meiser, chomesh, to one-fifth. What does that mean? They're two different things. Do you have to give meiser, do you have to give one-fifth? So the Gemara says that in the Babli it says, in Subis, that a person should give, we recommend that everybody should give ma'isuk sa'afim, one-tenth of their earnings. Of course, discounting withholding taxes, it's considered that you never earn that. and then the maximum, the Gemara says, the maximum one should give is one-fifth. Hamavazda is one who spends money on tzedakah. All your vazda is yes, she shouldn't give more than one-fifth of his total savings. Shele yayani, the star chladrius, lest he will become poor, and he will have to collect tzedakah. What did he accomplish by giving away all that tzedakah? And he's going to go collect tzedakah from other people. Of course, that depends how much he earns. If he's making a fortune of money, so he can give much more. Tosfos points out the Gemara in Sukkah says that Gamliel spent a fortune of money to fulfill certain mitzvahs, and strictly speaking, one is not even obligated to spend more than one-fifth of his total savings in order to do a mitzvah, even if he loses the opportunity to do the mitzvah. So why did Gamliel spend so much money to get a lulav and an esrog when he was traveling on the boat back and forth to Rome? So Tosfos says he was so rich, matnish tos, he was such a wealthy person, so the whole din of chaimish doesn't apply. That's what the Chacham Sodom points out, halacha lemaisa, that if people are wealthy enough, this limitation, this restriction of chaimish doesn't apply, that there's no aveira if the person gives more of chaimish. That aveira yeton, if it's a young rebbe in a yeshiva, and he just makes ends meet, so he's not allowed to give more of chaimish. But if he's doing very well in business, there's no avera to give his mother chumash. But in the Gemara it would appear, in the Babli it would appear, that the obligation only is to give one-tenth. And if you want to give more, there's to hate up until a chumash. In the Yerushalmi, the Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayis in Peir, the beginning of Peir quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Yad HaChazok, he also quotes this Yerushalmi, that chumash is the suggested amount. We recommend that everybody should give chumash. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara from the Babli also, that the Chaimish is the maximum. So how can it be that it's what's recommended if that's the maximum? So the Chavetz Chaim discusses this in different situations. He says it depends. If there's so many causes, and there's so many shnoras coming around, and there's so many mishulachim coming around, that there's really a need, that there's such a great need in to give tzedakah, but then the Rambam says that l'chatchila, that the obligation is to give Chaimish. But if there isn't really such a need, you live in a little village and there aren't so many poor people in the community, and nobody's bothering you, you don't get any letters from Eretz Yisrael, you don't get any letters from anywhere else. And as far as you know, all the world's problems are solved. Let's say years ago. Now we know that no problems are. Years ago, a Jew lives in a little village in Europe and there are only five Aniyim in the city, so he gave them the tzedakah. So what's the problem? So he doesn't know what the needs are, he doesn't know who needs the mikveh, he doesn't know who needs the shul, he doesn't know anything about what's going on in the outside world. There are no newspapers, no telephone. But then the whole obligation is only to give my six stuff in 1/10, if everything is taken care of. And then if you want to do Amidas Hasidus, you give more than 1/10, and the maximum is a chunch. But if there really is a need, if there is like today, there clearly is a need, we're always getting letters in the mail, people are always coming to our homes and ringing the doorbell. So then the Rambam says that we would recommend l'chatchila that everybody should give chaymish 1/10, if he can afford it, of course. This restriction that the Gemara has that one shouldn't give more than 1/5 of one's total savings, the Gemara says this doesn't apply when a person is about to die, when he wants to leave a will and leave money to the doctor, so then he can leave even more than 1/5. The shaila is, but he's not allowed to be mother and nachla from his children. So how much does he have to leave the yorshim that it should not constitute havoras nachla? Let's say he has $10 million to leave over the Yusha, so if he leaves each one of his children $1 million, there's no problem. So the shaila is, how much does he have to leave each child? So that we'll talk about it some other occasion. I think one of the talks in the series is about tzavos. So we'll get to that some other time. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches has an interesting comment. The Gemara quotes one of the Tanoim who says he would prefer to be a Gabbai Tzedakah, who collects the Tzedakah, rather than to be the Mechalkei Tzedakah, the one who has to pay lois the money. Because it's a very difficult issue as to who gets the Kedima, who you're supposed to give the money to. So that's what I'd like to discuss a little bit tonight. We all know the Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk that says that an oni has to be taken care of, a poor man's needs have to be taken care of. Dei machzoro asher yechzal lo. The Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara, what kind of an expression is that? The needs that he personally happens to have. So the comment in the Gemara is, afilu, let's say he was a very wealthy person, and now that he lost his job, he lost all of his riches, so we have an obligation to restore him to his original condition. If he used to drive a Cadillac, you have to give him a fancy automobile. If you have a servant, you have to get him back a servant. Of course, if there's one person who mamish doesn't have bread and water to eat, and another person who has the bread and the water in the apartment and the chandelier just doesn't have the Cadillac, he just has a plain car instead of a fancy car. So of course, there's a kedim over here you give to the one who has the greater need. Common sense dictates like that. So the Gemara has these kedim. First, the Gemara says, the highest level of tzedakah, of course, is where you have a suffix sakonas nefashis, where someone's life may be in danger. To support hospitals, or to support cancer research, or to support anything like that, where pikuach nefesh is involved. Next, the Gemara says you have to take care of mizainus. If you have people who are not going to die, there's no chashash that the person's life is in danger, but he really doesn't have enough food to eat, they're living on just the bare minimum, so that's the chiyuv mizainus. Next, the Gemara says there's a chiyuv to give baksus. The person has food, but he doesn't have clothing. So if two people come and you only have $100 to give, you only have $10 to give, whatever it happens to be, so it's preferable to be magdim, to give the money to the one who needs the mezonos, rather than to give it to the one who needs the ksus. What happens, the Gemara says, if you have a Talmud Chacham and an Am HaAretz, two people come to ask for tzedakah. So the Gemara says you give to the Talmud Chacham first. What if the Talmud Chacham, says in Shulchan Aruch, what if the Talmud Chacham has food, but he needs clothing? Look, he's walking around in torn clothes, and the Am HaAretz doesn't even have enough food to eat. Not that there's a chashash takana that he's going to die, he's pulling through, but he's not eating, he's eating milchik, so he's eating chicken, whatever, he's not eating normal meals the way normal people would eat. Not that he needs ice cream for dessert, but he's not eating normal healthy meals. And the Talmud Chacham has a normal meal, but he just doesn't have any clothing. He has torn clothes. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Gemara that the ksus for Talmud Chacham is kaidim to mezainus of other people. What is this insistence on giving the Talmud Chacham? If you have two people coming for tzedakah, why does the Talmud Chacham have a kedima? So of course, people would say that all the dinim of the Gemara were written by Talmud Chacham. So they say to the Talmud Chacham, if they would have been plumbers, they would have said he gives to the plumber first. This is not exactly the explanation. The Gemara in the end of Harias, the Mishnah, the Gemara in the end of Harias says that the Kedimus, one of the considerations, is not the sole consideration, one of the considerations in Kedimus, in preferences, in giving out tzedakah is, which cause is more necessary? Which cause is more essential to the world? So the Gemara assumes that Talmid HaChachamim are needed to maintain the tradition of the Torah. And this is more important, let's say, if two people are drowning. And one is a Talmud Chacham who can pass Mishan, not a Talmud Chacham who can, he learns Daf Yomi. Talking about a Talmud Chacham who can pass Mishailas. Daf Yomi is quite a job. You have to be quite a Talmud Chacham to. But me, a Talmud Chacham means one who is a rabbi, one who is functioning as a rabbi, and he's helping people out by passing shaylos and guiding them in their lives. And another person is a balabas, a private person whose life is also important. So the Mishnah says in the end of Arias that if these two people are drowning, you can only save the life of one of them. They save the life of the Talmud Chacham as opposed to the other one because he is saving. He will be guiding many people in the future. Let's say two people are drowning. One is a doctor and one is a lawyer. The Mishnah doesn't say what the din is, but I would assume that the doctor saves people's lives and the lawyer travels. He takes the parnassus, whatever. He helps people out in parnassus. But I would assume that the din would be that you save the life of the doctor, and then if you have time left, you try to save the life of the lawyer also. I would assume so. Or let's say you have two different kinds of doctors who are drowning. One is a doctor who mamish treats people, saves their lives, and another one makes plastic surgery. He does touch-up jobs on the nose or something. So this one is the essential. He's saving people's lives. The other one is less essential. So that's what the gist of the whole mission at the end of Maseches Harayos is all about. There are kedimus in saving people's lives, and all of these kedimus, all of these preferences are quoted in Hilchos Tzedakah as well. So that's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if you have the alternatives, if you only have these two options of giving ksus, clothing, to a Talmud Chacham who already has food, or to give food to an Am Ha'aretz, doesn't mean that he needs food. If he doesn't get the food, he's going to die. We're talking, there's no pikuach nefesh, there's no sakonas nefashis, but he's not really eating well, times are bad. But then it says in Shulchan Aruch that the ksus for the Talmud Chacham takes kedima over the mezainus of the Am Ha'aretz. Yeah, that's the reason why, because the Talmud Chacham is paskening shas. Talmud Chacham is paskening shas, so he, your contribution, if he will have a harchavas hadas, if he has torn clothing, so he probably won't be able to think that well in paskening the shaylos. If he'll have a harchavas hadas, he'll lead a more comfortable life, so then he will be able to function better in paskening shaylos and in leading the community and in transmitting the masers. Let's say there are two, there are many dinim in Shulchan Aruch. So first you have to get all the details, then you have to try to figure everything, put everything into a big picture. Let's say the community is interested in establishing a yeshiva. Let's say you live in a little village, there's no yeshiva. The community is interested in establishing a yeshiva, and they also want to build a shul. Right now they're davening in a rented hall, or they're davening in someone's home. They alternate every Shabbat, they're davening somewhere else. So they want to build a yeshiva, and they want to build a shul. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that building the yeshiva takes preference to building the shul. Because building the shul, no, they can daven in a private home, they can rent a room. A building a yeshiva, what do you mean? You're going to learn in a private place, you have to have a separate place. Learning Torah is essential to the Jewish community in order to further the Jewish tradition. Everybody knows, there is no source in Shulchan Aruch for this, everybody knows that if you have an option of either you have to build a mikveh in the community and you have to build a shul. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer that everybody knows that building the mikveh takes precedence to establishing the shul. Question is, where does it say that in the Gemara? What's the reason? So it doesn't say it in the Gemara. So he tries to explain why. So we assume that this is more essential than that. What about the place establishing a yeshiva as opposed to supporting rabbanim who pass mashaylos? So the Gemara says in one place that Almeh Ha'olam is kaim, what keeps the world going? So the Gemara says, Hevel piyam shal tinoika shal beis rabban, the little children who learn a cheder, who have not defiled their mouths and their lips with an evil pair, and they don't tell lies, and they don't fool other people in business. To aid the little kindalach, so when they learn Torah, so that's better than all of the learning of Abaye, the Rav, and Rapopta, these Amoraim, so they say the Hevel piyam, the Torah that comes out of the lips of the little children who have not defiled their mouths, so that Torah keeps the world going. So one would think that to establish, let's say, a little elementary school would be more important than to establish a smicha program, because the Gemara says that's what keeps the world going. So the Pashkin say no. That this is one thing and this is another thing. What keeps the world going, that's one thing. But as far as what the Jewish nation needs, that's another thing. We need people who are going to be rabbis in the community. So if it's a question of establishing a rabbinical seminary, you have to give, you have to support rabbonim, or you have to support the yeshiva gevoha, who are going to give out rabbonim, mechanchim, talmid chacham, who are going to pass mashavis and lead the community, as opposed to supporting the little children just to learn abba be'er. So this is, these are the two alternatives. So then we give our money for the big talmid chachamim, for the big yeshiva. There is another klal in the Gemara as far as kedimus that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that aniyah yirchav, aniyah yiracheres, aniyah yircha kodmim, that if there are poor people in your city and poor people in another community, have to first take care of the poor people in your city. What does that mean exactly? Let's say we live in Manhattan. New York City is a big city. As far as Hilchas Tchum Shabbos goes, so the din is that you have the right to walk the whole length and breadth of the whole city on Shabbos. Plus, another 18 minutes, another al-taimam or a mil outside of the city. So what do you mean, this whole big city? I have to support every single institution in this city before I give all institutions and all shuls and all yeshivas and all aniyim in New York City and Queens and in Brooklyn and Bronx. Everything comes before any other community. That's a little wild. So the pashtus is, it means like in Europe, there was a little community that was two by nothing, it was two by two. You have to take care of Aliyah Yerko, you have to take care of the poor people in your community before you take care of the poor people in another community. You live in a city like New York. That's New York City, this is like 100 cities over here. So how would one define Aliyah Yerko? So the pashtus seems to be, so I was told that Rav David Feinstein, the son of Moshe Feinstein, said this definition. I think this is the pashtus, that Aliyah Yerko means those people who have a shayfas with me. Let's say the shul where I daven and the yeshiva where I daven, where I learned in this yeshiva. Or I never learned in any yeshiva, but that's the yeshiva that represents my hashkaf. Basically, the Chassidish yeshiva, and then there's a Litvish yeshiva, and then there's a Broyer yeshiva, and then there's a Ramaz yeshiva, and then an Eretz Yisrael, there's a Hezdi yeshiva, and then there's a Tzitzurei Karta yeshiva, and then there's a Middle of the Road yeshiva, whatever, all kinds. So the one, let's say, I have no shaykhis, but I live in America, I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so none of the people in Eretz Yisrael or Aniyah Yerko, but those yeshivas that represent my hashkofa, those that I feel comfortable with, and I feel that that's what we have to support, that's cool, Aniyah Yerko. Aniyah Yerachares is all the other yeshivas in the world. Or let's say shul. So this is the shul where I daven, this is my shul. So you don't say that all the shuls in Manhattan and Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens, everything is Aniyah Yerko. No, Aniyah is the shuls where I daven on Shabbos morning, I daven in this shul, Friday night I daven in that shul, and the weekdays I daven in this shul. So those three shuls, that's Aniyah Yerko. The other shuls, even in the neighborhood, I have no shaykhs with them. You have to have a shul in order not to daven in that shul. You have to have a shul that you don't daven. But that's not Aniyah Yerko. So the pashtus is Aniyah Yerko kodim l'Aniyah Yeracheres means those Aniyim are those institutions, those hospitals, let's say hospital. So those hospitals that I use, the hospital that I would need if I would be sick and my children would need, that's called Aniyah Yerko. The other hospitals that I would never use, somewhere else in New York City, but I would never have any shaykhs with them, that's called Aniyah Yeracheres. There's another kedima that the Shulchan Aruch quotes about krovim, based on the principles. One of the principles of kedimas is how much am I accomplishing? How necessary is the thing that I'm supporting? So if I'm supporting Talmid HaChamim, I'm supporting Yeshivas Gevoho, so that's very necessary for the Jewish community, more necessary than Hamoinam, more necessary even than Yeshivas for younger children in the elementary grades. Another kedima, another consideration, another factor in determining kedimas is the question as to how many mitzvahs am I fulfilling when I give this tzedakah. So for example, if I have relatives who are poor, and there are other people who are poor, so by taking care of my relatives, not only am I in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzedakah, I'm also in fulfillment of the mitzvah of mitzvah al tesalam. The Gemara points out the pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, where the Navi says that you have to be the care of your relatives. You shouldn't just treat the relatives the same as everybody else. It doesn't mean they should help them be crooked and dishonest in life. It means whenever they need some help, you should give the kedima to help them first. So if I will give tzedakah to my relatives, there will be a double kima mitzvah on my part. I'll fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah plus the mitzvah of tzedakah al tesal. So that's why this takes preference over even supporting Talmid HaChamim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Supporting my relatives, if they're poor, it takes preference even over supporting Talmid HaChamim, because when you support Talmid HaChamim, there's only fulfillment of one mitzvah, the mitzvah of tzedakah. And here I have the other mitzvah of tzedakah al tesal. Or for example, the Shulchan Aruch has the following. Let's say that there are aniyim in my community. So first I take care of those aniyim who don't have food. And then if everybody has enough food, then I take care of those who don't have clothing. Fine. Everybody in my community is taken care of. Now I have money ready to support aniyah yiracheres, the people who don't live, aniyah yircha mistamami, the aniyim that I associate with. The aniyim on the block, in my building, the people that I see. Those are called aniyah yircha. New York City can't say all the poor people in the city aniyah yircha. The rest of the people whom I don't have any shaykhs with, those are called aniyah yiracheres. So now when I have to support aniyah yiracheres, the Shulchan Aruch gives you a kedima there also, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi. Shulchan Aruch says that if you have aniyim who live in Eretz Yisrael, and aniyim who live in Chutz La'aretz, and aniyim who live in Eretz Yisrael take precedence over the aniyim who live in Chutz La'aretz. First, the first kedima is aniyah yircha. And after having taken care of all of the aniyah yircha, then you have to take care of aniyah yiracheres. The first comes Eretz Yisrael, and then comes the rest of the world. And within Eretz Yisrael also there's a precedence. You give kedima, the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva says, you give kedima to the aniyim who live in Yerushalayim. How did he figure that out? That doesn't say in the Talmud Yerushalmi already. How did the Chasam Sofer figure that out? Because he was assuming that the reason why there's a kedima, the reason why we give preference, the reason why we give precedence to the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the Aniyei Chutz La'aretz, to the rest of the Aniyei in Queens and in Amansi and whatever, is not so much because they're fulfilling a mitzvah that they're living in Eretz Yisrael. That's not an aspect of tzedakah to support people who are doing mitzvahs. Let's say someone needs a pair of tefillin. So I should give him, he can't afford it, so I should give him money to buy a pair of tefillin. That's not really a mitzvah of tzedakah. If he doesn't have money, he's not mechuyev tefillin. I'm not mechuyev to give people, have to give people money to buy food, to buy clothing. That's a necessity. To do mitzvahs is not a necessity. You're only mechuyev to do the mitzvahs you can afford it. You can't afford to do the mitzvahs, so don't do the mitzvahs. So move to another community where you can borrow someone else's lulav and esrog. But if you live in Australia, I don't know, if you live in Alaska, and there's no lulav and esrog there, so you're not mechuyev to bench esrog. If you don't have, so you're not mechuyev. So I'm not mechuyev to give you stuff in order to enable you to bench esrog if you can't, if you don't have the ability to, so you're not mechuyev to bench esrog. So the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, the reason why there's a kedima to give tzedakah to the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael over the people living in Muncie, the people, the poor people living in Queens or Brooklyn, is not because they're fulfilling a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not mechuyev to help them to do mitzvahs. No, it's because I'm fulfilling a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of building up Eretz Yisrael is that you should work on a farm, or you should do business in Eretz Yisrael, or you should work for the government, or you should be in the army, whatever, to help whatever is necessary to keep the Jewish government functioning in Eretz Yisrael. Plus, even if I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, if I buy Israeli bonds and I don't cash them in, if I buy bonds and I cash them in, I'm not really helping out that much. But if I buy bonds and I don't cash them in, or if I give money to build buildings in Eretz Yisrael, to pave the roads, to make highways, to make yeshivas, whatever, so that's also a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. The full mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael that you should live in Eretz Yisrael and you should do something there for the economy, for the country, for the government or whatever. And even if one lives in America and he builds things in Eretz Yisrael, that's also a form for it. If he supports the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, so he's also supporting the economy, he's also supporting the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So just like we have a kedima, the Gemara says that it's preferable to give to anim who are craving, as opposed to anim who are not craving. Because if you give to your relatives who are poor, then you have a double kima mitzvah. You're fulfilling tzedakah, plus you're fulfilling the mitzvah himself, al tesalom, being the care of a relative. So here also, if you give tzedakah to Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, you are fulfilling it. Forget about his mitzvah. You're not pleased to help him do mitzvahs. You're fulfilling a double mitzvah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah, plus you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, a partial mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You're supporting Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Chassam Sefer says the mitzvah to build up Eretz Yisrael applies more so in Yerushalayim than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mishnah in the end of Ksubit. The Mishnah says when a couple is married and they live in Tel Aviv and they live Kiryat Shmona, and all of a sudden the husband or the wife decide they don't like, they've been living there for the last 25 years since they got married. Now they decide, one of them decides they want to move and they want to live in Yerushalayim. And the other one says, that's ridiculous, my whole job is over here. Well, why should I switch my job? Why should I go move to Yerushalayim? So even though one of them is saying something crazy, wild, they want to move in the middle of their married life, all the children want to move and find new schools and everything is all going to be new. And the other one says, the normal kind of, let's stay where we are in Tel Aviv, we have everything's all worked out already. But the Mishnah says that it's not so, that the one who requests to move to Yerushalayim has the gerech to tanya, and the other one who doesn't want to go along is considered as being obstinate. Even though one would have said, Fakir, this is where they got married, this is where they've been living the last 25 years. No, the Mishnah says, why? Because it's a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim if conditions are normal. It's a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim than to live in anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. So why? Because Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Just like it's a bigger, let's say if we're big patriots. So we want to have America should be beautiful. So we pick up the garbage from the streets and we pay our taxes and we do everything that we're supposed to do. And we want the capital of America, the capital of the United States of America, should be fancy. We want that Washington, D.C. should be the capital of the forest. So in Eretz Yisrael also, it's not so much because Yerushalayim has more kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But it's a mitzvah to live in the Beis HaMikdash. Shift the Beis HaShem Kol Yimei. That's not exactly what it is. No, it's a mitzvah to build up Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is also in the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So you want to have that the capital should be fancier than the rest of the country, and the capital should be well inhabited in order that it should be protected. It shouldn't be desolate. So because there's a bigger mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim than there is in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that's what the Mishnah says in the end of Ksuba. So that's how the Chassam Sofer understood on his own. There is no mock in the Shulchan Aruch like this. That's what he writes in his Tshuva. They used to have Dini Torah years ago. They used to collect tzedakah in Europe for tzedakah Rav Meir Balanes. Is that pushkas all over. So it was understood that this expression, tzedakah Rav Meir Balanes, means that this money goes to Eretz Yisrael. When they sent the money to Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of Jews all over. Who gets the money in Eretz Yisrael? So you used to have big Dini Torah about this. Who has the right to get the money? So there were Jews in Tzfat, and there were Jews in Hebron, and there were Jews in Yerushalayim, and they were all pretty religious, they were all learning Torah, and nobody had any panos, and everybody needed the money. So they used to have the Torah. So the Chassam Sofer got involved, and he sent a tshuva to one of the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael at that time, 150 years ago, about this issue, where he passed him that the Yaniyah, Yerushalayim, take precedence to the rest of the Yaniyim in Eretz Yisrael, because of this reason. The reason why Aniyah Eretz Yisrael take Kedima over other Aniyah Yirach Eretz is because the one who's giving the tzedakah is thereby fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So if he gives to Yerushalayim, there's a bigger mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael than in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. This is why the Chassam Sofer writes in another tshuva. Let's say you have a person who lives in Hungary. A person lives in Europe, and he's poor and hatnishkin parnasa, and he has no prospects of making a living, so he decides he may as well go to Eretz Yisrael. Mali Hachem, Mali Hachem does make a living, you know, and Eretz Yisrael makes a living anyway, so he'll go live in Eretz Yisrael. I'll take from the Chalukah, I'll take from the tzedakah that they send. So would you say that when this fellow calls man that he lived in Hungary, he lived in a different city? Let's say I live in Manhattan, and this poor fellow lives in Muncie, Hachem Shkan Parnasa, he's not prepared to make a living in any field. He's not mesugal for anything. So as long as he lives over here in Muncie, so I say, I'm not going to give him. I give the Aniyim in my city. The Aniyim will live around the corner for me. The people I bump into, I don't know who this fellow is. Even if he comes to me, he knocks on my door, I'm never going to see him again. Just to collect a check, I'm not mukhiyif to give him any. By the way, just parenthetically, the din is in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Pesukim in Tanakh, that when an Ani comes to ask, and he needs the money himself, the din is that you always have to give him something. You don't have to give him $100, but you have to give him something. And even if you don't have, the Rambam quotes, even if you don't have any, you don't even have a nickel, you don't have a quarter, the Rambam says if you have a button, or if you have a peanut, if you have something, unless you feel insulted, but if you tell him I have nothing, yeah, if you have a ballpoint pen, you have a piece of paper, you have to try to give him something. You shouldn't turn the poor man away with nothing. We're discussing, when you give Mamish a dollar, how much more I'm looking to give him. If somebody comes, a Mishulah comes from an organization, he represents the Neturei Karta Yeshiva. So I say, I want to give some Mizrahi Yeshiva. Or he represents the Mizrahi Yeshiva, and this guy says, I want to give to the Neturei Karta Yeshiva, he wants to give to that good Yeshiva, whatever. You're not mukhiyif to give a penny. If it's an organization, the Mishulah is not coming to collect for himself, he's not in money. So the din, strictly speaking, is you're not mukhiyif to give. You have to give your Maisik Sofim and your Chaimesh, your one-fifth, or those who can afford should give more than a fifth. Many people today can afford to give much more than a fifth. So this is how to give more, because there are many Mitzrachim. Everybody's coming to knock on the door, so the whole din of a fifth, the limitation very often doesn't apply by us. So again, if an Ani comes and he comes to collect for himself, you're not permitted to turn him away with giving nothing. You have to give him chaj something. And then the question is, well, how much more than a mashu, how much more than a something do you have to give him? You can just give him $1 or $5 and that's it, or are you obligated to give more? So then we have kedimas. If he doesn't live in my neighborhood, so I say, I want to give to the people in my neighborhood. I want to give to the people whom I'm friendly with, to relatives and so on. So again, the Chassam Sofer has this scenario. I live over here, in Manhattan, and a man comes to me from Muncie. He's a poor man, he doesn't have a job, he's not cut out to be a rabbi in a yeshiva, can't be a rabbi in a community, he can't do anything for a living. So I say, I give him $5 and goodbye. You have to try to be kind to him, of course, you shouldn't insult him, you should give the oifim shall cover. You have to give the talk in a proper way. But I'm not mukhayif to give him so much, I want to give to Aniyah Yircham. So what happens? Now he's going to have an einfall, he's going to look in the Shulchan Aruch, he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, they'll keep on sending me letters. I live in Eretz Yisrael. So even though Aniyah Yirach Eretz, I'm not pleased to give to the people in the other cities, Aniyah Eretz Yisrael take precedence over Aniyah Eretz. So he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he'll be the Ani over there. So the Chassam Sofer says he doesn't think that is correct. And he says anyone with an ounce of brains will understand that this is not correct. But the only time there's a mitzvah to support, the only time there's a kedima, there's a preference to give to the Aniyah Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Aniyah, Yirach Eretz is in a situation where the fellow was born in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael all his life. Or he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he was making a living, L'chatchila, and then he became a poor man in Eretz Yisrael. So then supporting the Aniyah in Eretz Yisrael was considered supporting the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah by my giving money to this Ani in Eretz Yisrael. I'm supporting the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, the Yiddish Yishuv. So that's my fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But the fellow goes from Muncie to Eretz Yisrael, Adai to Dehachi, having that in mind, that he's going to live off of the Tzokhe. So what do you mean that's a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Let him stay in Chutz Lord. There's no mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael if you're not making a living. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael only is if you're doing something productive for the Medina. You're making a living, you're working on the farm, you're working in the government, you're doing something there. Just to sit there as opposed to sitting here, that's not the mitzvah. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means liyashay desaret, that it should be significant. So he says, this is no... This is no mitzvah on my part that I should support him. And he says, Adarabe, he's a gazlan. This fellow who's going to Eretz Yisrael, he knows that they only have X amount of money that they send in the Eretz Yisrael for the chalukah that they divide, and they divide it amongst 1,000 aniyim. So now they're going to have to divide it in 1,001 parts, because there's one more mouth, there's one more person that they have to give. This man with his 25 children, for months he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So now he's going to get another 26 shares, 27, with his wife, me and his wife and 25 children. So he says, he's a ganav. He has no right to go to Eretz Yisrael in the first place if he knows in advance that he's not going to make a living and they're going to have to divide the Rav Meir Balanes stuff into more parts. The Chassam Sofer writes in one of his later tshuvas, not in the regular collection of the tshuvas, Chassam Sofer doesn't appear, but it's in the later collection, so he writes that common sense dictates in such a situation there's no mitzvah to give precedence to such an individual. He says the only ones who would disagree with me are those who are stubborn, obstinate people. He writes a lashon like that. Every so often he writes such a lashon. Because in halacha, it's very hard to prove things. The Ramban writes an expression in one place in his introduction to his commentary on the Gemara, to the Sefer Mechamas Hashem. Ramban writes that Talmud is not a discipline like trigonometry or geometry. You can't have any rigorous proofs to anything. So you have a Gemara and you say that this is pshat, and the other fellow can misinterpret, can reinterpret everything from A to Z, and stand on your head from today till next year, you can't prove otherwise. So every time you bring a raya, he'll give a different interpretation. There's no way to disprove anything. If a person has sensitivity and he has the pulse of the Gemara and he understands the neshama of the halacha, so then people will understand that this is the correct shot and this is the incorrect shot. But he says there's no real rigorous proof to demonstrate that the other person is wrong. So that's what the Chassam Sofer writes about this situation, this kind of an argument. There are two considerations in the Chiyuv of Tzedakah. What is the site of the Chiyuv of Tzedakah? So one of the considerations is explained by the Abarbanel in his commentary on Chumash, when the Torah says that we should give Tzedakah, Ki lo yechta lev yom mikerev ha'aretz, there will always be poor people in the world. Ki biglal adav hazeh yivarechecha Hashem elokecha, because of giving Tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a blessing. And therefore, pesach tiftach es yadcha, therefore you should give charity. So what does that all mean? Because there will always be poor people in the world, therefore you should give tzedakah. Some sociologists argue the reverse, that it doesn't make sense to give tzedakah to the poor people. What will you accomplish? You think you're going to eradicate poverty? Poverty will never be eradicated, it will always be around. So you're going to, like you have a hole in the dam and the water should be falling in, so you put your hand over here. There's going to be a hole over there, so you run over there. Then the water's going to come over here. You're going to keep on trying to hold the water back, and it's impossible to hold it back. So there's always going to be poverty. Someone's always going to be poor. So why should I give money away to try to keep on making out checks to him and to him and to him? And then he's going to be poor and he's not to him. The rest of your life, you're never going to eradicate poverty. Oh, someone is always going to be poor. So one could argue just the reverse. But that's the hezbo, that's the reason why it does not make sense to give any stuff. But the Torah writes, that's the reason why you should give stuff. Ki lo yechta lev yom mikerev ha'aretz, because poverty will never be wiped out from the face of the earth. That's why there is a mitzvah to give stuff. Why is that the reason why you should give stuff? It's very strange. And the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk, Ki biglal hadover hazeh yivarechecha Hashem elokecha, and Parshas Re'eh, biglal hadover hazeh, because of the mitzvah tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you. So the Gemara has a comment at the end of Masechah Shabbos, biglal, that poverty is a galgal hachozer ba'olam. It's like a wheel that turns around and it keeps on spinning around all over the place. So poverty will always hit someone different. In one generation, will be rich. This family will be rich, the other people will be poor. In another few generations, the family that was rich will become poor, and the poor people will become rich. Poverty is always spread around to different people. Why did the Gemara comment that on that pasuk? What did the Gemara drive? What is the Gemara's kavan over here? So the Abarbanel, in his commentary on Chumash, I don't read the Abarbanel, Rav Soloveitchik once pointed this out in a major shiur. He gave a whole shiur based on this Abarbanel. The Abarbanel points out that the pasuk, the way the Gemara understood it, seems to be saying the following: we are obligated to give tzedakah to the other people, because they are obligated to give back to us in exchange. But we will be in need. Because Aniyus is a galgal hachozer ba'olam, I cannot know for sure that I will always be making a very good living. Someday I will be poor, or if I won't be poor, my children and my descendants will be poor. So I'm obligated to help out the other people in exchange for which they're obligated to help me when I'll be in need. I have to dance at your wedding, I have to be Menachem over by these people, I have to do Agmilas Chesed to give them alone, because when I'll need alone, and when I have a chasana, when I have a bar mitzvah, when I have a simcha, so I want them to help me to participate in my simcha. So I'm pleased to help them, so they'll help me back in exchange. So basically, the Torah gives us an obligation of tzedakah, gemilas chasadim, is what we would call a situation of schiras poyalim. I'm obligated to give you, in exchange for which you're obligated to give me back. Like I shovel your snow and you have to, we make an agreement. I'll do the pula for you in exchange for which you're going to pay me, either in cash or in service or in something. I'll watch your behemoth today in exchange for which you watch my behemoth tomorrow. So that has the status of a shemesafah because you're paying me. That's my salary. My salary doesn't have to be paid by check. Doesn't have to be paid in cash. You can pay me my salary and services. I'll give you services in exchange for which you'll give me services. Here the Torah imposes upon all of us an obligation to give to others in order that they should give us back in exchange when we will be in need. This obligation only applies to Yisraelim. It doesn't apply to Nochem. Because the Torah never required of the Nochem to give stuff. The non-Jews are not obligated. They're only obligated to keep the basic Shevimitz and Tanayah no more. So since they're not, the Torah never imposed upon them. The Rebbe Shlom could have, if he wanted to, he could have easily said that all the people in the world are obligated to give stuff to everyone whenever there'll be any. But he didn't impose the mitzvah on the non-Jews. So since he didn't obligate Nochem in the mitzvah of tzedakah, so therefore we are not obligated to give to them based on this aspect, because they're not obligated to give back to us. The only time you're obligated to give to others is the Torah's Chiras Poyalim, when they will be giving back to you. This is what the Gemara has an expression. The Gemara tells in Maseches Tainis about a fellow who was planting a buxa tree or some kind of a tree that took so many years till it's going to grow, some kind of a funny tree that takes 50 years till it's going to grow. That fellow was already 50 years old when he was planting the tree. So the people asked him, you plan to live for so long? You're not going to see any fruit till you're going to be 100 years old. You plan to be around for a long time? He said, no. When I came into this world, there were these kind of trees around. And I feel that I have to see to it that when the next generation comes, they should also have these kind of trees around. So what is the idea that the Haggadah is driving at? This is the idea. We're obligated to do things for others because other people are obligated to do back for us. This is the site of Stevens Poilum. This is the site of stuff. This is one aspect of tzedakah. But then, the halacha has another consideration in tzedakah. Why is there a chiyuv tzedakah to build a shul? Wait a minute, I'm afraid to build a shul because they're afraid to build a shul for me. It has nothing to do with that. No. You're mechuyev to help, let's say the community needs a shul. So why are you mechuyev to pitch in, to chip in, to build a shul? They need a sefer Torah, they need a library, they need a hospital, they need all of that. Well, a hospital, I'm going to use it myself. So I'll give others in order that they should help me. Fine. But let's say to build a shul, what's the Yisrael Achiv over there? So the Chosh Mishpat says, this is not a drasha, but Chosh Mishpat says that this is based on the premise of Shutfis. When people choose to live in a community together, if you want to, you can live in a desert. Live all by yourself as a hermit somewhere. So there's a day, live all by yourself and there's no din of Shutfis. But if you choose to live in the middle of Manhattan, you choose to live in the middle of the United States of America, you choose to live in the middle of New York State, so it's considered a shutfis with all the other people, all the Jewish community and the non-Jewish community is like as well. It's considered that you chose, I was born in Manhattan, but I have a prayer, I can always go on some desert island. I can always move to the Sahara Desert and live all by myself. But I didn't choose like that. I decided I was born here, I'm going to stay here. So whoever lives in this community is considered a shutfis with all the other people who live in the community, the people who live in the state and the people who live in the country. That's why there's an obligation to pay taxes. Gemara has a whole discussion, even the Malchus Adina, that you're obligated to pay taxes, not like cheat on your taxes. So the Rishonim have a whole discussion, what is it based on? What is the Yisrael Achiv of paying taxes? They have all kinds of pilpulim. The whole pilpul, what is the Achiv based on, is only in a government, like years ago, when they used to pay taxes, the taxes were in order to enrich the king, in order to make the king a multi-millionaire. So that's the shaila. Why am I mechuyev to make the king rich? He doesn't make me rich, so why should I make him rich? So they give a whole hezbollah, why mechuyev? In America, we're not really enriching anybody. The taxes go to cover the local taxes with the state taxes with the federal tax. It just goes to cover the postal service and the fire department and the police and the army and the Senate and the Congress and all of the services that all of the governments provide for us. Right, they're not providing such gewaltige services. So when you have a business and you have secretaries and you have workers and salesmen, also not so gewaltig. And the fellow drives the truck and he delivers the merchandise and he's also not so gewaltig. So whatever. That's the status of workers these days. Whatever the degree of services are, you live in this country, you live in this state, you live in this city, and you want these services provided, so if you choose to live here, you have the status of a shutfim with the rest of the people in the community. And the halacha says that shutfim are mechuyev to put in money into the shutfim to the whatever the amount of money is necessary in order to maintain the shutfim. Let's say we have a business for shutfim. And in order to expand, in order to advertise, we have to put in a little more money in order to make more revach in the end. And now the company, the business doesn't have any money. So they're both shutzim, I'm going to give if they're 50-50. Shutzim in the profits, so they have to spend 50-50 in the expenses. It's 75-25, they have to spend in the expenses also like that. So shutzim have an obligation. So the halacha says that the people have the status of shutzim in the community as far as all of the needs, all of the tzarachim of the community. So that's why there's an obligation for everybody. Let's say, I daven at home. I don't believe in davening shul. I want to daven home. So I, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need a shul. I daven home, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur also. I don't need any shul. So what do I have to pay for the shul? The answer is, if you live in this community, you have the status of a shutzim. Even if you're never going to use that shul, that's one of the needs of the shutzim. And you have to pay for a hospital. I don't believe in a hospital. If I'll ever be sick, I'd rather die. I don't need, let's say it's a hospital for cancer. If Khalil, I'll ever get cancer, I'd rather die than be treated. It doesn't matter whether you're ever going to, you and your children, your grandchildren, you never use that hospital. You'll die before you get a chance to use that. It doesn't matter. If that's one of the needs of the community, so you have to chip in also. You have to pay also, because you have the status of a shutzim. This chiyuv of shutzim is not restricted only to Yisraeli. The other yisrael hamachayiv of tzedakah is only on Jewish causes. I'm chiyuv to do for them, because they're chiyuv to do back for me. It's the Torah's chiyuv spoil. But this machayiv, the Torah shutzim, this applies even on general causes. Let's say education. So we have, let's say, we have an obligation to help in the secular education of the community as well. Libraries, even if we have a house full of books, but we have to chip in to have a library in the community also. So the non-Jews should read books also. Everybody needs education, everybody needs all of these things. So we have an obligation to help out there also. There are several other considerations in determining where to put your money. One is the famous comment that the Sefer Hasidim makes. We have a concept of a meis mitzvah. We know the din that when someone dies, Rahman al-Islam, so the relatives, the seven relatives, have an obligation to take care of the kvura of the one who died. What happens if a man died, no one knows who it is, and there's nobody around to take care of the kvura? In the middle of a goyish community, and no one wants to take care. And I'm the only Jew around, so the halacha says that even if I'm a kohen, even if I'm a kohen gadol, even if I'm a nazir, a kohen gadol and a nazir, everything all together, and I'm not even permitted to be metami to my own seven relatives, the kohen gadol and a nazir, a kohen hedyot is permitted and obligated to be metami to participate in the funeral of one of the seven relatives, but a kohen gadol and a nazir is forbidden even to do that. But if it's a situation of a meis mitzvah, then he's obligated, he's committed and obligated to be metapel in the kibur. So that's the basic din of meis mitzvah. So the Sefer Hasidim has a comment, a famous comment that many quote from him, that if you have an option of learning different masechtos, in one group they're learning Gemara Sukkah, and another group they're learning Gemara Bava Kamma, another group they're learning Gemara Me'ilah. Most of the people never heard of Gemara Me'ilah, even those who heard it, never learned it. So the Sefer Chassidim says, oh, a Gemara that hardly anybody knows, it's never Chameis Mitzvah. That's right. It's never Charachmonis, nobody's learning Me'ilah. So he says it's a special mitzvah to be metapel in Maseches Me'ilah. The people should nemzach to those mitzvahs, to those things that no one's taking care of. So this is an obvious consideration over here also. Let's say you have the local hospital. Everybody knows you give money to the hospital. The Jews, the non-Jews, the religious Jews, the secular Jews, everybody's giving money to the hospital. Give money to the yeshivas. The non-Jews are not going to give money to the yeshivas. Shaila, whether we're permitted to accept money, even if they want to donate to a shul, the halacha says you're not permitted to take from non-Jewish people. But based on Migdash, it says, the original Pasuk says in Ezra Nehemiah that if the non-Jews want to donate money for a based on Migdash, we don't accept it, because the Pasuk says, Lo Elohim alone, we live in this based on a king. It's not a shutzpah between Jews and non-Jews. Based on Migdash is supposed to be a Jewish affair. So because the Navi Yechevka describes Pasuk in Esiyos, the Bacha Midrash is in Bavo, as a Migdash Miyat, when the Navi says, the temple will be destroyed and the Jews will be sent into Golus in Bavel, but for Ehi Elohim le Migdash Miyat, they will have a miniature based on Migdash there. What's the miniature Beis HaMikdash? Some say that it's 770 Eastern Parkway. But what's the miniature Beis HaMikdash? The miniature Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, the Navi Yechezkel was referring to the Bati Kinesias, or Bati Midrash Shebibov. So because the yeshivas and the shuls all over the world are considered by the Navi, the Prophet says that they're considered Mikdash Miyad, so that's why many Pasim say, Shulchan Aruch, many commentators on Shulchan Aruch say, that we're not permitted to accept donations from non-Jewish individuals. What if the non-Jewish government wants to donate? That's a shaila. Or what if a non-Jewish corporation wants to donate? What if it's not a private person? There are already discussions on that. But if a non-Jewish individual wants to donate, so it says that that's not proper, shouldn't accept. So the yeshivas are not being supported by the non-Jews. They're not even being supported by the non-observant Jews. And in a certain sense, the yeshivas are clearly a meis mitzvah. So of course you have to take care of the hospitals, and you have to take care of the libraries, you have to take care of the medical research and everything, but everybody's taking care of that. And these needs are hardly being taken care of by anybody, even for the religious world, hardly anybody's taking care of them. The person always has to keep this in mind, that number one, we should treat this as in a certain sense as a nes mitzvah. It doesn't mean some crackpot in the Meir Shorim is writing a book on one sif in Shulchan Aruch. He's researching one sif in Shulchan Aruch, actually. Some obscure dinner no one ever cares of, never comes up as something. So because no one is supporting this cause, no one ever wrote a sefer on that, so therefore that has the status of the meis mitzvah. Some meis mitzvah you're not going to take care of. The mitzvah meis mitzvah only implies if it's a meis Yisrael. If it's a meis nafesh, there's no chiyuv kuriyah, it's a meis mitzvah. Just because someone's writing a research paper on something, some obscure topic that no one is going to get any toelis from, no one is interested in it. We don't do that today. But you have some very worthy cause that people are not taking care of. So then there's a special mitzvah to support that cause. There's another consideration. There is a famous comment made by the Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim lived in Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. The late period, the same time as the Beis Yosef, same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he has a comment on the Gemara Megillah, on Daf Chav Zayin, Daf Chav Ches, where the Gemara has the students ask different Tanoim and different Tamaron who lived to a ripe old age, Bameh Erachta Yom. What did you do to be Zeicha to live so long? Usually in America they ask this, they say, I drank schnapps every day. medakik at that. So one says he always davened with a garter. The other one says he's always
that night. This was about at least 2 weeks before Pesach. So I said, I guess you must be really working very hard to get your house ready for Pesach. And she said, no. She said, as a matter of fact, both of my siddurim are already in the freezer. This is around Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So, happy 25th anniversary. And if Yirtzeh Hashem, you should have many, many more years together and much nachas from your children.
Amen.
And if Yirtzeh Hashem, b'nei vonim also to come.
Amen.
Please God.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Beautiful.
Sure.
Welcome to you.
Here you are.
Thank you. We can still daven Marav. Any chiyuv? Hmm? Oh, I can't give you this tape. Why should I give you the tape? I gotta make it. I won't give it to you now. I gotta fix it up. Why do you want to take it and I can't give it to you now? I gotta give it to the office tomorrow morning.